Welcome to the Bald Move TV podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for all the TV. We're on the Bald Move Network. You can find us at baldmove.com. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And you can tell that this is a new show by that horrible intro.
We have no idea what we're doing.
Nothing.
We have a subpar show name. Things that didn't make the cut were, fuck it, we're covering everything.
Yep.
Are you not entertained?
Brass balds.
Is this the shit you wanted us to do? Cover all the stuff all the time?
Yeah. So this is our new All the TV podcast. We cover as much TV as we watch during the week. Any of the shows we see, we're going to talk about. We're probably only going to do like 5 to 10 minutes on each one, since this is a pulpy cast and we don't have all the time in the world to cover all the TV in the world.
But hopefully we're going to take some time out to do some stuff on our featured cast, such as Justified.
Yes.
And, you know, spend a little bit more time talking about that.
Yeah, since we lost that cast, and I do love that show.
Right.
So
it's a little bit about our format. I don't know how we're going to incorporate feedback into this yet. Mm-hmm. Presumably, we will have to take the best of the best, or especially if it's like a question format that we can discuss or talk about a particular show on the air. That's going to take precedence over, you know, just general thoughts and reactions.
Also, we have no idea how long this is going to last.
No, we
because
don't.
Because if it performs like Justified did, they get the axe.
Or if it performs like Bald Movies did.
Oh, God. This is the first and last episode.
See you for Walking Dead, everybody. Because that's the other thing. Like, man, Walking Dead comes back soon. We're like
yeah, it does.
5 weeks out, 6 weeks out, and then it's Breakneck.
Yeah,
you got
and all these shows we're
going to
talk about
Dead,
tonight will still be on.
Mad Men and fucking Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then by that time, Breaking Bad will be back.
It's crazy. So anyway, should we just start? Do you think that's adequate?
I think that is adequate. What's the first show you watched this week? First one you want
to
talk about.
So you're just going to take over the notes without having notes. I thought we'd do a little bit of show news up front to talk about some things that are coming up.
Oh,
for example, Netflix. They're producing television shows now.
No.
Original content.
That's cool. I really like this.
It's unprecedented.
Although I'm a little worried that this could destroy Netflix as we know it.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
It may not be a bad thing. You're right.
But it's exciting because, I mean, you've seen some indie produced content. But it's always been stuff like, you know, Dr. Horrible's sing along blog or The Guild.
You say that with such hatred in your voice.
I hate The Guild.
I don't like The Guild. I do like Dr. Horrible.
I do too. But I mean, this is, think about it. This is non network, non cable.
It's not traditional in any sense of the word, right?
Except for the talent that's attached to it.
And
one of
names.
Them. It's going to be interesting because House of Cards comes out in February, mm-hmm. and it's an interesting – I've been following this on Alan Sepinwall's blog. They're dropping the entire season.
That is awesome.
One day, boom, you've got – it's like day, you know, day zero, you got no House of Cards. Day one, you got all the House of Cards.
And we're dropping all the podcasts the next day.
Yeah, I don't know how you would cover that. You'd have to do, like, if you're doing a weekly podcast, we just come up with our own schedule, like a book club.
Possibly. I do want to cover it, though, because, I mean, it's got Kevin Spacey and David Fincher attached, so.
But I also think that if that's somewhat disappointing, Netflix still has Arrested Development coming out in May. Same deal, whole season drops day one. If they don't get a good response on that, they're probably effed in the A, right?
For sure.
Because that's got a built – I mean, your core audience of Netflix people and your core internet audience all tend to love Arrested Development.
It's and like if people, they brought back Firefly and it flopped.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If they put originally produced Firefly season two on Netflix and it just got panned – There is no future for this format. I mean, you might as well just mothball it and wait a decade.
Yeah. So if you have Netflix, watch Arrested Development when it comes out, and watch House of Cards because we'll be covering it.
What do you think? I'm asking you.
I'm super excited.
What is Netflix hoping to get out of this? More subscribers? Because I can't. Do you think that anyone that doesn't have Netflix today is going to subscribe to Netflix because they have Arrested Development?
I think so. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, definitely.
House of Cards would have to be awfully damn good
to get
people to subscribe to that.
I mean,
it's got
even
that potential.
With David Fincher attached and Kevin Spacey.
Starring, right.
Good names. Real good names. I like all their work. But I don't know if that's as big of a draw as just Arrested Development, the name is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially for the geeks who...
And people, I mean, there's people following Arrested Development news and Twitter feeds and stuff like that right now. I mean, that's something that, you know, always gets asked at all the television critic shows and press releases. Is when's it coming back? Is there going to be a movie? Is there going to be this? Mm-hmm. People have... I mean, that's the number one question Jason Bateman probably gets asked. do you think it's going to be successful? Do you know what Netflix is hoping to get out of it? Because I haven't seen, like, you know, if they've got any, like...
I think...
We want to get X new subscribers, or we want to see X many downloads. Or...
I don't know. I feel like their hope is almost to make regular networks jealous and kind of get better content through the pressure of having their own really good content.
Right.
That people are kind of turning more to Netflix, and the people who are producing traditional content will say, that's where the audience is. We need to go there.
It's kind of like rattling your sabers. It's like instead of, you know, paying you $1 million for 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Last season's 30 Rock. we're going to produce our own content and like chuck deuces to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what kind of launched or made AMC arrive when they decided to go this original content. So.
Sure. But that's all what I'm also worried about is I don't want the Netflix service to suffer because they turn into just like a channel for their own content, you know?
Right.
I hope it doesn't get the backlash that we saw with like AMC and Dish, where the content producers won't put their content on there because they don't want it to succeed.
Right. Okay, so moving on to that, to three other shows that we will be covering, but we will not be talking about this week. First up is Downton Abbey, a show that's near and dear to my heart. I thought season one was awesome. Season two, maybe not quite as good, but I've heard really good things about season three. I just saw this weekend on PBS the 2-hour season premiere for season three. It was awesome. Jim is feverishly trying to catch up.
Has Thomas been dropped on his freaking head yet?
Thomas is not suffering a debilitating injury yet.
Damn it.
But it's like, okay, so let's talk about this.
I've only seen season one.
Right, right.
I just finished it the other day.
But part of what you were talking about on the chat today was you're talking about Thomas and Miss O'Brien.
Yeah.
Like, they do horrible things. Okay. And I kind of mentioned, it's like, well, you know, they kind of get comeuppance. But they don't, especially O'Brien, never gets brought up commiserate with the crime she committed. But
that is true. I mean, she kills... We're spoiling it, right? We're going to talk about the new stuff next week. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So she kills the new heir to the Downton estate.
Normally, we solicit spoilers. If you want to, do not do that for me on Downton Abbey, because if people want spoilers, you can watch the whole fucking season. It aired in the UK like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
and,
season three.
And also, do not Google anything on Downton Abbey, because you will get like massive, I've heard this, you get massive spoilers just by Googling the name, Googling characters' names, stay off the Wikipedia articles, because they're all up to date, because, I mean, as Americans, this doesn't happen to us very often.
Yeah,
we're
behind
on the receiving end of a shafting.
Damn you, content. BBC!
Yeah, right? and like, what the fuck? Why do they do that? Why do they still pretend that like film canisters, nitrates are being shipped over on the Titanic?
It's silly.
This is stupid. Worldwide release dates, people. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that the show has to have a villain.
So they make her feel like a total dirtbag at the end of season one.
And
right?
She should.
And she should. She killed the new heir. They don't do that in season one, at least, for Thomas. He gets attacked by William, but he only gets punched a couple times. He deserves so much more than that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Bates beat the crap out of that
guy. Oh, yeah. That would be... In fact, one of my enduring hopes is they're keeping Thomas alive just so Bates can eventually beat him to death.
That would be awesome.
And then be sent to prison for a murder charge. But anyway, Jim doesn't get that joke. He will soon. Spoiler alert.
Damn it! I didn't even Google anything!
Anything else you want to say about Downton Abbey?
No.
We'll be
not
talking
until
about
I see
it.
Season two.
We'll be talking about it a lot because Jim will be all cut up by next week, and we'll talk about episode one and two, season three. Also, something I'm very curious to see his take on is HBO's Girls, which returns this Sunday. Mm-hmm. I saw Girls over our hiatus. I loved it.
I don't even know what a girl is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to find out. You might see a few naked even.
Oh, boy.
HBO being what it is. Not the ones you probably want to see.
No, I've not seen a drop of this show.
It's really good.
That's what
I hear. It's funny. It's interesting, observational. I mean, I saw people I know I mean, I'm not as young as the target audience, but I remember what it's like to be that. And I've known people and I've known mm-hmm. guys like that. And I've seen some of the dynamics take place, and it just feels really real. And I'm curious to see your take on it.
Okay.
Being the unfeeling cyborg of the duo. Third and finally, the show that we're going to tease you with and not talk about is Archer. FX's Archer, which comes back January 17th next week.
We should just continue to tease it every week and never talk about it.
I think Archer season 2 is the best Archer. This mm-hmm. is season 4. Season 3 was, you know, really good. So how would you describe this show to people that have never seen it before?
Wow. So first of all, it's about a spy organization.
Yes.
But it is a comedy, obviously. Yeah. It's a cartoon, or it's animated, whatever you want to call that. I don't know how to describe the tone of this show because it's so out of the ordinary. It's like half smooth and half hilarious.
Yeah.
Like that describes Archer. He's like half this super spy who is really, really good at everything he does.
He's exceptionally competent at spying.
And then the other half of him is like a dumbass who doesn't consider anybody but himself and is kind of like getting everybody into trouble all the time.
Right. It's like saying he's a functional alcoholic doesn't even begin to cover it. He's like a hyper-functional alcoholic.
He is, yeah.
I feel like the best parts of the show are the vicious Dilbert aspects of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what attracts me because, you know, everyone's been in a workplace where you got some tools and some people don't carry their weight. What's great about this show is everyone says exactly what they're thinking, from the lowest ranking secretary to the people that own the company are just pile driving verbally each other all the time.
And I like when they go kind of dark and twisted, especially with the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes to some weird places so does Pam. I mean, Pam and him go weird and I like it.
Right, and like Ray, who is the, you know, equally talented gay super agent, faked being crippled all last year to get in, you know, to get easier missions and basically benefits. Then he actually got crippled in the last episode. And it's like, awesome. We're laughing at this, but it's, I promise we're not terrible people.
No,
it's really funny.
The show is absurd, and it's fun to laugh at. So.
Yeah. They get really good guest stars, too. Like, Bryan Cranston was the lead guest voice star in the two-episode arc that finished the season where they actually went to the International Space Station and thwarted a takeover. I don't know. I can't even remember what the whole plot line was. Something about breeding stock with women and Mission to Mars and all that kind of stuff. But it's a really great show. I can't wait for it to come back. It's probably the, and I'm including Louie in this too, the consistently belly laugh funniest show on television for me. Another funny show that we will talk about is Portlandia.
Yeah.
We did we got a chance to see the first two episodes of this show. The Winter in Portlandia that came out around Christmas time, and then this week they had two episodes. I only saw the first one, Take Back MTV.
So this is going to be weird talking about half of what aired this week.
This is a show that I don't know. It's the same thing with Archer. I don't know that we'll talk about it every week. We might wait for a couple episodes to pass and then like talk about it as a batch.
I honestly don't know what to say about it. It's such a weird show. It's almost SNL-like in its nature, but
let's talk about it. And the Winter in Portlandia had a skit about chasing sunshine that I felt like the boys from Personal Arrogance, you know, just talked about. Like, Portlandia is trying to steal Seattle's shtick.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, Seattle
is... the dreary ones wearing the flannel, not them.
Yeah, like, you're Northern California. You know, it's like, you're basically Northern California. Quit posing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny because I felt like Eric and Jesse and Personal Arrogance in bitching about... you know, the Portland hipsters actually sounded like weather hipsters. So, like, we were in dreary, shitty, rainy weather before it was cool.
See, I think that's their plan. I think...
Really?
Yes. I think they want to be the hipsters that Seattle is known for. Well, I guess Portland is known for. Whatever. They want to be those guys, so they're complaining about those guys to be those guys.
All I know,
it's all very ironic.
I've been to Seattle like 4 or 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it rain there. It's been beautiful every single time. I actually feel like that this is like a Greenland, Iceland situation where they intentionally are spreading disinformation to keep people the hell away from this cool area of the country.
To be fair, you've been in the summer every time.
Late summer.
Okay.
Labor
and
Day
you did
weekend.
Chase the sunshine.
I did.
So.
I did. I followed it back and forth. I think my favorite moment in the whole show was their lead up with Peter and Nance doing the pasta withdrawal. And it led up to the moment where Peter suggested at the end they give up dessert.
Yeah,
and her screams. Reaction. God.
She loses it instantly.
Do you know she's not a comedian or even an actress?
She's a musician.
How the hell does she get this timing?
She's just a good comedic person. I don't know.
So that was great. What'd you think about the second episode, Take Back MTV?
It was all right. See, I don't know. It's really hard for me to say that either of these could stack up against the Breakfast one last year. Do you remember that? Season 2 where with Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
They get stuck in this line that goes on forever, and she gets lost and taken to this village of breakfast.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
These couple didn't get me laughing nearly as much.
I did like the skit opening up about the millennials moving back to their parents, and they're trying to come up with an anthem to talk about the plight of the millennials, and it kept morphing into just some stupid party anthem. And you know what? I'm not a millennial. Obviously, neither one of us are. No. We're like Gen Xers, and people talk shit about us all the time, and what a bunch of failures and losers, and we're running shit now.
Like this podcast.
Yeah, we're fucking paying for the baby boomers' debt. Greatest generation. We're like saving your ass with bypasses and
you know why that happens,
enabled
right?
Medical stuff.
You know why that happens? Why? It's because people get older. Little secret of life, everybody gets older.
Right, right, right. So like, you know, another 10 years, you guys will be running shit and you'll be making fun of.
Taking care of us while we're drooling and shitting ourselves.
They'll probably call them the tween generation, right? The people that are coming to age.
I thought they called them Gen Y.
2020.
Didn't they?
I think.
Wasn't that a name?
I think millennials after Gen Y.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I don't know.
I don't know. It's probably because people working for Time Life and Rolling Stone get paid by the word. And, you know, that's every 4 or 5 years you can come up with generation whatever.
Yeah.
And define it in a loose term. And there you go. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I like that Kath Dave shoot a video about how to construct a tent, too.
That was funny. That kid in the background giving the finger.
And everybody trying to cash in YouTube. I mean, if you ever watch like product reviews, you're like generally interested in watching product reviews, and you get these, you know, video reviews on stuff, and it's just like that stuff.
Yeah, so that's what I really love
about
the show.
Amateur hour,
right?
They don't have any good dialogue. It's exactly like, it sounds exactly like this podcast. Like they don't even know what the hell they're doing.
So that's what I really like about this show. It's not necessarily that it's just funny skits.
Yeah.
It's the commentary on society. I mean, it is both the 90s and today.
Yeah.
It's a commentary on both.
And especially it seems like it likes to poke fun at the shallowness of our culture.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times when it almost seems anti-intellectual because it portrays people that seem like they're smart or think they're smart in a very negative way. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking about the feminist bookstore owners. They always come off looking like complete idiots.
Yeah. The skit where he's trying to take the kid, he's trying to drop the kid off was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, where they were just denying all gender.
Yeah. I'm not aware of what gender I am.
Yeah. Right.
But, it's pretty good. I'm glad to see it back. Looking forward to see the third episode. Let's get to the main event.
Justified.
The title card. Justified.
Hell
Hole
yeah.
in the Wall. Written by the Yost with the most, Graham Yost himself, the showrunner.
Yep.
Trying to get things off. So what did you think of this episode, Jim? Because I did not like it.
Oh, I liked it.
I think it was a meh episode. 5 out of 10.
I give your review a meh.
Well, you give it.
I give it a 7.
Okay.
It wasn't fantastic by any means. Well,
it's hard to
but
open
it's a season
up.
Opener. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to open up a season. Now, last season was an exception. I thought that opened up gangbusters.
What happened in the beginning?
You
of
had
that?
The Carpetbagger. You had Win Duffy.
But comparing
big confrontation.
It,
I think it wasn't the first episode where he gave him the classic. You know, next bullet's coming at you faster.
No. Was that the first episode?
I thought so.
I don't think so. I could be way wrong, though. Yeah, so season openers are tough to make exciting, I guess, because you got to set everything up, right?
Well, I know Carpetbagger for sure came in and blew away the head of the Dixie Mafia. Or the Lexington Mafia, whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it just felt like, you know, and he was set up as a major character from seasons before, so it'd be like if this new quote-unquote badass that Royd's hanging with rolled on up the Limehouse and blew him away in the first episode, it'd be like, whoa, sitting up a little straighter in your seat now.
So it is interesting that you bring up Limehouse because he's completely absent from this episode, and I don't know if that's going to be they're just done with him.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it at the end of season three. It seemed like there was a lot more to come with him.
Right.
And I can't tell how much time has passed between the two seasons.
Well, exactly. So Raylan's still expecting.
We know it hasn't been more than 9 months.
Right. In fact, much shorter than that.
Because she was pretty pregnant, wasn't she, at that point? Like, when she was moving out, wasn't she showing?
I didn't think so. I thought she was like 3 to 4 to 5 months along, maybe middle.
Yeah, so it can't be more than a few months here.
No, I would say so.
Yeah. So you said that you don't like Patton Oswalt, or in this anyway, you didn't like Patton Oswalt.
Well, I just felt like, I mean, it just took a while for this show to get going, and I didn't like the main, you know, when they're doing this episode, this mobster of the week is what we've christened it.
It didn't take a while to get going. There was a man in a parachute smashed on the pavement with cocaine all around him.
Yes, that was interesting. But then after that happens, we see some gratuitous.
It took
30
years to go.
I just felt like it wasn't until like the 2/3 mark that the show's kind of picked up steam. And then it, you know, really, I don't know. I found it hard to get invested because. I didn't like Patton Oswalt's Constable Bob Sweeney. I think it's annoying and very, I guess what you'd say, self-serving. I mean, it's almost like they've even said as much, like, hey, Patton Oswalt was a big fan. We heard about it.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to write him in ever since we found out. And now we did.
Well, okay. Maybe that's a little annoying to me, writing people in for the sake of writing them in.
Plus, he seems like he's a fuck-up. It would be as if...
No, I like that, though. Okay, here's the thing.
So he's a benevolent version of Dewey Crow? Raylan has...
Essentially, yes, because you need foils for these awesome characters. If Raylan was just going around being awesome Raylan all the time, he would never get into any sticky situations, and we'd never have to worry about him. You need these dumbasses getting Raylan into problem spots, getting Boyd into problems... To then redeem them, to bring them out of it.
I thought
he was a good foil for Raylan.
Okay. What did you think about Boyd Crowder's new left hand man, Colton Rhodes, Sergeant Colton Rhodes? Yeah. So this guy's Ron Eldard. He's been in Black Hawk Down. He was played a paramedic on ER. He's been in a couple of other things.
Yeah, I've seen him
before. Thought he looked like a pudgy version of the Proto Man's front man, lead singer.
All right.
And that's what I kept on thinking. I'm like, they're talking about this guy being a badass. He just iced a dude out of nowhere at the end to kind of prove his badass credentials. But he comes off like a surfer dude, man.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the dude. The entire time.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this guy looks like the dude.
Plus, he's asking, well, I don't know, you're killing... I mean, he seems reluctant to join the criminal empire, and then he just casually kills a dude.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what to do with that character.
No, you're right about him. I was not sold on him completely.
Like, in last season, think about the previous two seasons, or all the seasons of Justified, we open up with Boyd Crowder. I'm sitting there like, I want to know more about this guy.
Yeah.
Season two opens up with Mags Bennett and the whole Bennett clan. Fuck yeah, I want to know about more of these people. Season three opens up with the Carpetbagger and Limehouse. And it's like, totally, yes, these guys are fascinating. They're loose cannons. I want to see more about it.
Yeah.
This opens up with Constable Bob Sweeney and Colton Rhodes. And I'm like, I don't really care to see more of these people.
Could this be the season... of Raylan versus Boyd?
Well, it's interesting.
Of the real Raylan.
I was reading
Boyd.
About the press tour, the TV screeners, whatever, press tour, and Walton Goggins said that they're asking about an update about how he feels about Raylan and Boyd's relationship. And sometimes, like last year, he and Timothy were at odds because they asked them both, and Tim's like, nah, Raylan hates him, and... Boyd says, Goggin said, I was surprised to hear him say that. Well, this year they say that at one point, I guess mild spoiler alert, Boyd says, you know what, Raylan, I don't like you. So maybe. Like last season, we were hoping to see them unite against a common foe.
Yeah, back-to-back shotguns.
And that didn't happen.
Never.
So I think that they're setting them on a trajectory to actually meet up. And Do you think they'll ever kill him?
Boyd?
Yeah, because Walton Goggins is getting some big roles of late. I mean, he had a bit part in Lincoln. He was in something else that I just saw recently. Was he in Mandingo, maybe?
I did not see Mandingo.
Not Mandingo. He was in Django, which features Mandingo fighting.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he was in that. So it's like, you know, he's an awesome actor. I feel like that one of these days they're not going to be able to keep him because he's going to have other roles and movie roles.
Yeah, so they didn't really set up any other big bad guys, right? I mean, certainly the guy who Raylan stuck in the trunk is not going to be a big bad guy.
Right.
The big bad guy here might be Arlo.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking about the overall plot, I think they set it up right there.
It's good. The thing is, they did such a great job of showing him as over the hill and addled and, you know, senile that he can't.
About last season.
Yeah. He better not be the big bad because I won't believe that.
Well, we do know that he was off of his meds last season, right?
Right.
So now maybe now that he's on his meds, he's back in the game.
He's a ruthless killing machine.
He is, yeah. Shiving people with a razor blade and a toothbrush.
Yeah, I was talking to Mad Brew today and I said that this episode reminds me of a lot of you know, the X-Files seasons, where the best part of every episode is the last 30 seconds, where the smoking man would come in and say something really fucking cool, and I was like, oh, man, this whole season's leading up to something. And Yost and company are conspicuously and consciously trying to make this a mystery, like individual standalone episodes that loosely tie together towards a bigger conclusion. When I read that, I got worried because
that's a little different than the last couple seasons.
Oh,
right?
It seems like a return to season one, but they're actually going to have this mystery that Raylan's going to be solving that deals with his family past. Like I said, I don't know. That's season one of Justified. I thought it was great. It was cool. Not my favorite. I'm kind of worried about that. Also, when is Raylan going to kill somebody? When's he going to shoot somebody? How long has it been?
Hasn't been that long, has it?
All last season, he did everything but shoot people.
That's true.
And now he like took someone out with an airbag.
Yeah.
He took someone out with a dumbass's switchblade or knife.
All I did was stab a teenage girl in the foot. Yeah, that is pretty much it. I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out coming up. The other thing we need to talk about is the story, like this overall plot. This is based on a real life happening.
Right.
Do you have more information on it?
No, I do not.
You don't?
The Bluegrass Conspiracy, if you want to look it up. I think we got some listener feedback on that.
Okay.
And I believe Mad Brew posted something on our Facebook site about it.
Yeah.
And I read it. The reason I didn't do a lot of research is because I read an interview with Graham Yost today, and he said that, yes, they did take the iconic image of a parachuter with the drugs, and I think they used the name because the guy's name is Waldo something or other. They used Waldo Truth. They used the guy's name and that basic scenario, but that's about it.
I was wondering if they were going to weave Arlo into that story.
Right. I'm also interested to see if they are going to weave any of the rest of Raylan, which is the book that I read last year. I mean, a lot of season two and three are cribbed from that book. There was three or four major plot lines, or I wouldn't say major, but like, you know, episode or two length plot lines that I wonder if they're going to mine for this season.
Could be.
So I'm interested in that. What else we're going to talk about? I was not a big fan of Raylan's barfly girlfriend, Lindsay, last season. And
what's wrong with her?
Dude, I don't like her voice. I don't like her. She's too kind of like a trashy version of Winona for me.
Yeah, no, we were both pretty against her last season.
I just feel like Ava, Winona, Lindsay's way below there in terms of just everything.
I'm worried about the money that he stashed in his dresser because she was eyeing that up.
Oh, I don't think she's going to. Do you really think she's going to steal that?
She might.
Thing is like, that's a bad. Like, if you're going to fuck over Raylan, he better not know where you live.
Yeah.
And he definitely knows.
He better not know where you work and live.
Also, we took a lot of shit for saying that she doesn't own that bar. There's
bullshit.
A lot of people last year saying that, you know, because we said she didn't. She just worked at the bar. She's bartender for this bar. A lot of people said she owns it. I don't think that's true because, again, she mentions that some Mike dude, you know, is going to be pissed if she doesn't get back down there. Like, she doesn't seem like the boss.
Yeah.
So, all you people, I'm extending my middle finger up to say I don't think Lindsay owns a bar still. anything else we want to talk about here?
No.
What about the big finish? We talked about
the shiv in the neck.
Yeah, they got some trusty, whatever the hell that is, a librarian.
Yeah.
Trying to horn in on
saying it's worth a lot of money.
Arlo's deal with the bag. Obviously, you know, Raylan's correct. Arlo does know what the bag's all about. It must be worth not just money, but something, you know, and it's worth enough to kill the conceal.
Yes. So we don't
know. In prison, no less.
We don't know if it is valuable to Arlo or if Arlo is trying to hide it from the people it's valuable to. There are a lot of scenarios that could be going on here. So not a lot of information there other than, yes, he will kill to keep it out of someone's hands.
The last thing that we have not talked about of yet was the new tent preacher in Harlan County.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Boyd versus tent preacher this season.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the trick that Boyd tried to play in season two.
See, and here's the season
one.
Season one.
Yeah, sorry.
And what I'm wondering about is, because that's an open question about how sincere Boyd was at the time.
Yes.
And I still to this open. Day don't know whether he was sincere and his experiences made him be a cynical again, or whether that was all manipulation to, you know, dethrone his father and take control of Harlan County.
And his comments in this episode still don't shed any light on that, you know?
But I do think he does not like the fact that this guy is basically stealing his shtick.
Yes, he does not like
and
it.
And number one, he sees it as a threat because he's like, well, it worked for me.
And his pill business is going down the tubes
because
he's getting people off the drugs.
Yep, just like it was effective against his father when he used it on him. So
yeah.
I think we're going to find out a lot more about Boyd with this as a prism. We're also going to find out – we've already found out more about Boyd's backstory through this Sergeant Colton Rhodes. We found out that they serve – basically they're Iraqi War I veterans.
Yeah.
Both of them. Did we know that before?
I don't know if we knew that about Boyd.
The timeline there's a little muddy because apparently Raylan and Boyd grew up together.
Yeah, we're in the mines together.
They worked in the mines together. He got shipped off to war. Raylan went through the Marshall Academy, I guess. Raylan went down to Miami.
Boyd
became
a criminal.
White supremacist, yeah. Blowing up black churches. So, like, I don't know how that all fits in with their apparent age on the show and... Because I think Raylan's supposed to be late 30s in the show.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the Boyd would have to do. That's a lot of living packed into.
I got to say, man, I am just always super impressed with Timothy Oliphant's performance.
Yes.
I mean, he is so smooth throughout this entire episode and the whole show.
He also just gives the air that he just doesn't really give a fuck. Like,
even in the hairiest situation.
With three people, guns at her face, and his only backup is a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
He's still kind of cracking jokes and being like, all right, this is your last chance to give up. And he's bluffing left and right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great character and a great performance.
And really, 4 out of 5 points that I did give Justified is solely because it's always awesome to watch Raylan do Raylan things.
Yeah.
So supposedly, we're supposed to see him kind of down on his luck and lone wolfish this year. He's doing, you know, this was a kind of martial job that he was doing as a civilian to get the money himself for.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like he's sleeping at the office maybe on occasion.
Is he trying to avoid that girl at his place?
Doesn't seem like he did a very good job at the end there.
No, it doesn't. Maybe that's not what he's doing.
So I don't know. Anything else? There was a appearance by Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Oh.
Raylan's carrying a box of his father's belongings in that box.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that beer company. If anyone lives in the Midwest area, they should try it. What else?
That's it. That's all I got.
I think that's all we got for the whole episode. We'll have some feedback next week. We actually have a bunch of it. I just didn't have time to process it. I'm sorry. This is happening a week early because for some reason we both thought the Justified premiered next week.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So
and we want to keep the show kind of short.
Yeah.
We have a lot of shows to talk about, so we're not going to be able to cover them very in depth, but we hope to get at least some talk about all of them in.
Yeah, I'll try to figure out what the hell we're doing here.
Yeah. Oh, and our name. We know it's terrible.
Yes.
So let us know what we should call this podcast. Because Bald Move TV Podcast is not good.
No. It is descriptive and to the point. And,
it is.
You know, helps out probably on the search engine optimization. But, yeah, we'd like to have something a little bit better.
Yeah.
Or theme music, if you have suggestions for that. Because, you know, we don't have any of that. I don't know what we're going to play.
We'll do a mashup of all the shows.
Played at once. Yeah. It's just going to be a wall of white noise coming at you.
Fantastic.
So again, we got some feedback where I'm gonna try to, go through the best of that for some, especially we got a lot of stuff on Justified. And tell us what you think. This is an experiment. We don't know if it's will work. In fact, most things we do, we feel like they'll fail. So,
way to set the tone,
way to set the expectations. Want to give some shout out to our two newest, castmates on, the Bald Move Network. If you haven't heard us since last Justified, we brought on the Eric and Jesse from Seattle doing the Personal Arrogance podcast, talking about pop culture, geek culture, beer, movies, TV shows, video games, current events, sports. They're hilarious. Check them out. And also the Because Show with three ladies led by Jerilyn, Amy, and Susan out of Los Angeles. They talk about shit, sex, books, movies, television, makeup, all kinds of good stuff. We're big fans of all of them, and they're part of the Bald Move. They're part of the Bald Move Network. So give them a listen. God, yeah. I'm bad at this. We can't ever take hiatus again.
Yeah, we took too many weeks off,
and I didn't. I'm drinking Coors Light tonight. It's
well,
not
with this show, you're right.
Then.
We never can take a week off.
No.
So. We're stuck with that.
Other ways you can support us, obviously send email to the brains at baldmove.com. I will probably come up with a better email address next week, but that's our generic slush fund email. You can follow us on facebook.com/baldmove and follow Jim at twitter.com/baldmove. We appreciate your reviews on iTunes.
Which it's going to be hard to find a no-name podcast on iTunes.
Yeah.
So maybe next week we'll tell them where they can get that.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think we have the feed even established because you have to have
It takes about a week, yeah.
But when we do get that, if you like the show, honestly, I don't care what you rate us because I'm curious to find out what people think. So 5-star, 1-star, I don't give a shit.
All right.
Honest opinions and lots of them. That's what I'm looking for. And also, as always, you can support us directly. Put coins in our pocket without any coins leaving your pocket, at least directly, by using our Amazon.baldmove.com affiliate link. How that works is you put in that Amazon.baldmove.com or click on the handy dandy banner at the top of baldmove.com. It takes you to Amazon. Anything you buy on that session, we get a teeny tiny slice of. So we appreciate all those people that do that. It helps pay for the bandwidth and, all the stuff that we probably couldn't handle on our own. So thanks a million. And
that's
also
it.
Tell a friend.
Oh yeah.
If you're a fan of good television, if you want us to take a look at some other shows, let us know. Again,
yeah.
Jim and I feel strongly that we have to like whatever we're casting about.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could do a featured show on a lot of these shows. I would definitely like to do a featured show on Girls. Definitely one on
Justified.
I feel
like Downton Abbey has enough juice there.
Oh, yeah.
To pump.
Yeah. If you are just looking for a standalone Justified podcast, check out David Chin's.
He's the last man standing,
Yeah, right? The evil David Chin empire has defeated the Bald Movement. Also, if you're looking for a good standalone, the Downton Abbey cast, Up Your Downstairs.
Yeah, Up Yours Downstairs.
Is really, me and Jim really like these people. In fact, yeah,
we just found them this week, actually.
We might court them. We might send them love letters, chocolates, flowers.
Maybe have them on the show. That'd be cool.
Maybe have them on a show. It'd be cool, like every couple, you know, like four, every month or so, have them and just, you know, talk what their opinions are. Because they are hilarious. So I'm just kind of blabbing. Are you going to save me? Are
that's
you
cut it, man. Me off? I tried to cut you off earlier, and then you said tell a friend, and I was like, yeah, I better let him go. that's it for this episode. It's gone on way too long, and I'm way too tired to be doing this. So until next time, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you next week.